I'm JP Davidson, and this is The Sound of Small Business. Inspiring stories and hard-earned lessons from successful Canadian entrepreneurs. Brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. I'm in Salima Virani's office in the West End of Toronto, Ontario. It's a big open storefront space with one bright orange wall and a long work table in the middle. It's an office, but it's comfortable, inviting.
What we're going to do is we're going to talk about the Family Law Act, which actually governs domestic contracts. Okay. So there are certain kinds of contracts.
That's Salima training her new articling student, Mariam. Blue Letter Law is one of the many businesses she runs out of this office. The space may look fairly average, but Salima's ventures are truly unique. And so is she. You can tell as soon as you speak with her.
I think I'm a bit of a sponge when it comes to accents. I get everything from, are you from South Africa to whatever. So yeah, it's a quirky accent, but it is what it is.
That quirky accent is shaped by her journey up until now. It's like the businesses she runs. They form a tapestry that represents her culture, her values, and the obstacles she's overcome along the way.
You know, I think everybody has a bit of the entrepreneurial gene in us. But I think like a seed, sometimes the circumstances around you nurture it and cultivate it and allow it to bloom.
That means to understand Salima, the entrepreneur, we have to understand Salima, the person, her journey. It all starts a world away from Toronto, in India. That's where Salima was born. Her family was poor. They lived in a house that had just one room,
which was about 12 feet by 12 feet, and that was my home, certainly for 19 years. So I never had the luxury of my own bedroom or even a room or a shelf to call my own, actually.
Believe it or not, this is where Salima first started fostering her entrepreneurial gene.
When I was about 10 or 11 years old, and I wanted to take a swim program in the summer, but of course my family couldn't afford it.
The folks at the YMCA told her she could take swimming lessons for free if she brought in 10 paying customers.
So I knocked door to door at every home in my residential establishment, persuading parents how it was so important for their kids to swim in the summer. And I signed up 10 kids and got my swim ticket.
She got those free swimming lessons thanks to her ingenuity. And the idea that entrepreneurship can get you what you want, despite the odds, stuck with her. Her family also fought hard to get her a good education. So eventually she found herself living in England, with a degree and a good job. She was the manager at a hotel. Until one day, she had one of those little, seemingly random moments that would change the course of her professional life.
I became a lawyer just to spite someone.
One night after a shift at the hotel, she found herself in discussion with her extended family. In that conversation, the family sort of casually told her she wasn't a real professional. According to them, real professionals were things like lawyers, doctors, or accountants. They weren't trying to be mean-spirited, but it hit Salima pretty hard.
I just think there was a part of me that was just really upset and made to feel very inadequate. And I went to bed that night, you know, I'm going to show you guys. What do you think? And that's it. The next morning I announced I'm going to law school and I'm going to become a lawyer.
So she did it. She got her law degree. That's just the kind of person she is. In 1997, she fell in love with Canada after visiting some family here. So she packed up and came to Toronto. She bought a Victorian-style house and rented out most of it to tenants. But she was in a new place with a 2-year-old daughter. And to top it all off, she found out her law degree wasn't valid in Canada.
It was very demoralizing. And I think amidst all that, I was extremely homesick. So I had a choice, I think, I had to make at that crossroad, whether to pursue a career in hospitality, where I had considerable experience, or now that I have chosen law as a vocation to plow on and see what I could do with that. Fortunately, I chose the latter.
So Salima was getting a Canadian law degree part-time, working as a typist in a law office. and supporting her daughter. But having a busy schedule wasn't about to keep someone as bright and motivated as Salima from getting her big break.
I think my entry into Bay Street was a little bit fortuitous.
Fortuitous is one way of describing it. Remember, Salima's job was just to do these typing assignments at the law firm.
And during one such assignment, I was reading a document, and there was something that just didn't make any sense to me. So when the lawyer came to my desk to pick up his work, it turned out that he had made a mistake, and I had caught that mistake. And, you know, he's like, how are you reading this?
The lawyer's name was Ron Clark, and she explained to him that she already had her law degree from the UK and was going back to school here in Canada.
So I think something must have, appealed to him, because when I left that job and he left to go to another firm and needed a summer student to work with him.
Ron actually called Salima's school and specifically asked for her to come work with him. She did and went on to follow him to three different law firms from there.
He was a phenomenal mentor.
And once Salima finished her Canadian law degree, she became an associate at the Bay Street law firm where Ron worked. Things were finally starting to settle down for her career-wise, for the first time since moving to Canada.
Except I didn't know what home was anymore, because I'd lived in London for about 8 years before coming to Canada. I'd lived about 18 or 20 years of my life in India prior to that.
And it was that connection she had to India that led her to a website called mybindi.com. She came across it while she was still a law student. It was a message board and a news site for the South Asian community in Toronto. And Salima was instantly hooked. She started contributing to the site, writing movie reviews, profiling Indian restaurants, and even planning outings to make connections with her fellow expats.
So yes, MyBindi was a welcome respite.
And as she started to help out more with the site, she started to think, hey, I can do this better.
And, you know, as the Godfather would say, I made them an offer they couldn't refuse.
Yep, she bought the website. One thing you should know about Salima, when she senses an opportunity for a successful business, she jumps on it.
There's a sort of a mental checklist for me. You know, A, is it something I really enjoy doing? Is it something I can make money on doing? And if I can be passionate about it, if I can do it better than others, and if there's a way to monetize it, then why not? You know, so I'm always looking, you know, for my next challenge.
Challenge is right. When she bought the site, she was still an associate at the Bay Street law firm. She was juggling both worlds.
So in 2007, when I was being groomed for partnership.
Partnership is like the holy grail for lawyers. But she was passionate about the website.
You know, there was a part of me that says, oh my gosh, I really have to decide, you know, and choose one.
Salima found herself where entrepreneurs are always finding themselves, at a crossroads with no GPS. More on that coming up. But first, The Sound of Small Business is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank.
Salima is a true entrepreneur. She does it all.
That's Katya Sokolova. She's a commercial account manager with RBC in Toronto, and she's worked closely with Salima for 6 years.
The other thing that I love about Salima is how caring she is. She will take out of her personal time and help people, and her energy is contagious. It is very rewarding learning about clients' businesses and seeing that you've contributed to their success. Just like a parent, you know, raising a child who has become a good human being. I just came from a client. He owns a bakery. The first year he said to me that one of his employees is not showing up to work at his busiest time. And I said, well, I'll be happy to come and bake with you. And ever since then, we've baked, and I do it every year before Easter. It is probably the one thing that I love the most being in this role, is being part of their dream come true. You become part of their business, you become part of their family, because you were part of that dream.
Whether you need help with your banking or your baking, Katya Sokolova at RBC's got your back. To connect with your own trusted business specialist, visit your local RBC Royal Bank branch or go to rbc.com/buildingbusiness today. So Salima is facing a big decision. Put all her time and effort into the website she bought, mybinti.com, or work towards this big promotion at her law firm. Ironically, it was the career coaching she received from the law firm that ultimately informed her choice. She'd meet with her coach regularly, but
every time he asked me what my goals were for 3 months as a lawyer, I struggled. But if I came home and did the same exercises for my Bindi, I had tons of ideas and strategies and goals and visions.
She wanted to be passionate about her work at the law firm, but it just wasn't happening. And she might be able to do a good job at both the website and the law firm. But for Salima, good wasn't good enough.
I knew that if I wanted to leave behind a legacy, if I really wanted to do something, then I had to get out of being good and really aspire for greatness. And I think that was ultimately why I handed in my resignation.
Salima was able to go after her entrepreneurial vision, even if it meant stepping away from something she'd spent years working towards. But that allowed her to push herself to become great at running MyBindi. She was bringing in big new advertisers and collaborating more with well-known brands. And she expanded the site. You can now log in to bindilicious.com,
which showcases South Asian food.
There's also newbieindian.com and
bindiweddings.com. We have mybindiwest.com, which is our sister site servicing the West Coast.
Plus, she kept building that South Asian community that drew her to the site in the first place by arranging more and more meetup events. That led her to her next endeavor.
These dinner circles or coffee chats became coaching sessions. And of course, the bell in my head is like, oh, I like the sound of that. How can I monetize this? You know? So the next day I incorporated and said, I'm open for business.
That next venture was called Zentrepreneur, like Zen, balance. The seesaw between profit and passion. And she might have seen a little of herself in her clients.
So a typical client for me on Zentrepreneur would perhaps be somebody who has a full-time job and is considering transitioning into being a self-employed or the owner of a business.
She even created a shared office space to house this growing group of small business owners. She called it Zen Campus.
And the intention of this space was to bring that creative talent together so that everybody could sort of feed off of each other's energy.
And all this led to her latest business, the one that seems to be the ultimate culmination of all her life's work and experience so far. The idea came to her from her coaching sessions.
I found especially that my coaching clients were needing legal expertise.
And in another light bulb moment, Salima was like, they need legal advice, and hey, I'm a lawyer. Blue Letter Law was born. But of course, she couldn't do it herself. That's not her style anyway.
I can create a team of associates, and I can create a revenue model where I can create that legal incubator where new associates can come to me, they can learn from me.
What is a prenup? What do you think is a prenup?
A contract.
And that's where we are today. She was able to get financing for Blue Letter Law from the team at her local RBC branch, who have supported her since way back when she bought her first home in Canada. They've helped with all her endeavors. And she's actually brought all those businesses together under one roof. In the off hours, she still hosts seminars and networking events for other entrepreneurs here. And just being in the office, you can see how it reflects Salima and her journey. Things are meticulously filed and organized, Documents are scoured and fine-tuned, just like they do on Bay Street. But nobody's wearing a suit. She has a profit-sharing model with her associates. Plus,
at any given time, you will see a couple of interns in the firm. As an NCA candidate, which is basically legal speak for a foreign-trained lawyer.
And a cohabitation agreement is an agreement between two partners.
It comes from remembering what I went through and saying, you know, if I can make that contribution or make the road a little bit easier for them, then it's a win-win.
And she tries to make the law easier to navigate and more accessible for her clients.
One of the things I've always found, even growing up as a child in India, is people fear the law. So blue letter law is basically a response to what is otherwise referred to as black letter law.
Black letter law is rigid and inflexible. And that's not what Salima's going for here. To her,
blue is the color of understanding and the color of interpretation.
She takes her experience from Bay Street and makes it more accessible.
Absolutely. I think there is some credit to what Bay Street offers, and I'm just happy that I'm able to take all those lessons and offer them at Main Street prices.
Salima says everyone has an entrepreneur inside them. But some people have events transpire in their lives that allow it to grow and thrive. That's definitely true in the case of Salima. And all her endeavors now seem geared towards not only making money, but fostering that inner entrepreneur in others like her. Call it paying it forward, literally.
You know, whether it's promoting a business on MyBindi or helping a client through Blue Letter Law or coaching somebody from the start through Zontrepreneur, seeing them struggle and then pick themselves up and then stride and then go into a full run and then scale, you know, the peaks of success. It's fantastic.
Salima is no doubt in a full run right now herself. And she has her eyes on the finish line.
I was having dinner with my daughter not too long ago, and she asked me what my plans were for my retirement. And I said to her, I think I'm going to write the Florida State Bar exam. And she said, well, why would you do that? And I said, because then I can practice in Florida. And then when I retire, I'm going to go as a snowbird and do real estate deals and wills for everybody in Florida while I'm sunbathing.
Salima monetizing her retirement? That sounds about right. Okay, so there's a lot we can take away from the story of Salima Virani. To help, I spoke with Vicky Saunders, entrepreneur, mentor, and business advisor.
I think Salima sounds like a true entrepreneur. You go from one thing to the next, follow your passion, and create business opportunities. She sounds awesome. I want to meet her.
Salima had a great mentor, someone who saw her potential when she was just in this entry-level job. I'm sure there's a lot of budding entrepreneurs out there who are saying, I wish I had someone who could come along and take me under their wing. Do you have any advice for finding a mentor or finding an effective mentor?
Well, I think what's interesting about Salima's story is her mentor showed up because she showed up. She was at work. She saw something. She added value. There would be other people sitting there going, that doesn't make any sense to me, and they wouldn't say something. But the fact that she said something, she created value and she jumped in first, and then the mentor got behind her because she added value and helped them out. So I think there's that give and get piece, which is very important, as opposed to, you know, someone's just wanting a mentor to kind of fix them and help them, but they're not giving anything back. You know, people will come to me and say, will you be my mentor? But I, you know, what's in it for me? I think there's a really interesting component. If I feel like I'm going to learn from this person and I feel like they're going to work hard, I'm in. But if it's not that kind of case, then I think it's harder to find a mentor. So you need to think about how you're showing up as a person if you're having a hard time finding a mentor.
Again, with Salima, we see this classic crossroads story. She's got a great job. She's in line for a raise, but something keeps nagging at her to leave. In hindsight, it's easy to say, yeah, go for it. But I'm wondering, what do you say to people in that situation? Because sometimes I'm sure it's a better idea to stick with a good thing.
Well, here's the thing. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're sitting there and thinking, like, am I going to take the safe route which has become a lawyer where I know there's credibility, et cetera, versus like what you're really passionate about, there is no choice at all. And after a while, you know, I'm sure there were outside voices going, wait, you spent all this time working on your law degree. Why aren't you going to monetize it? Right.
Right.
But the flip side is, what's going to make you happy? And if you follow your bliss, money follows as well, from my perspective.
You're in the go for it camp.
I'm in the big go for it camp.
So it seems like Salima has so much going on. Like you said, she's a true entrepreneur. She's got so many businesses. But an outsider might say she's on the road to burnout or she's too impulsive. What's your take on that?
So I think that the fact that she's following opportunity, right? She's an opportunist. So she is working towards something and then a new thing pops up and then she figures out how to monetize that and another thing. Like, she's just really following the energy that's possible in front of her. I think that's the sign of a true entrepreneur. And does she sound like she's burning out? Not at all to me, right? She's just on to the next thing. She's very energized by the work that she's doing. If it was hard and it was a slug, then she'd be burning out. I think the things that come effortlessly to you energize you and keep you going. And I often say to entrepreneurs, you know, if there's something that's dragging you down and not working for you, dump it and work on the stuff that you really love because it's effortless.
Hmm. Okay, so I'm going to try to use some business terminology here. Vertical integration. Is that what we're seeing with Salima's business?
Definitely. So Salima is taking vertical integration to the nth degree here, where she starts with one community that has some commonality. And then she realizes when she has that strong community, there's endless marketplaces that can spin off it. As she says, you know, she goes into weddings, she goes into regional components, she goes into coaching. So she's like way ahead of most of the businesses I see out there.
I love the name and the meaning behind Salima's law firm, Blue Letter Law, a take on Black Letter Law. Naming your business has got to be one of the biggest decisions that small business owners make, right?
Naming your business is critical. I mean, more and more people are making up words because a lot of the words that we have out there are overused. But I love her Blue Letter Law, Black Letter Law, and the story that she can create around it. Having a narrative that engages people that they can re-storytell to others is really, really helpful in building a strong brand.
Right. Are there any tips that you have around naming a business?
Naming a business is one of the things that I love to do as well and come up with kind of funky ideas. But I think, you know, there are all kinds of branding companies out there that take you through different processes to do this. So if you think of what this problem is that you're trying to solve, and then you go, if it was a color, what color would it be? If it was an emotion, what emotion would it be? And really try and get very, very creative thinking laterally. Because again, with the Blue Letter Law, she took a riff on what's already established and made it more new. I think that's a pretty cool approach.
So what do you think the biggest lesson that small business owners can take away from Salima's story? What really stands out to you?
The thing that stands out most about Salima's story is following your passion. Is really digging deep and going, what energizes you? What excites you? What do you think about all the time? Her story of looking down and trying to make 3-month goals for her legal practice versus the Bindi business. She just noticed after, and she probably needed an outside person to help her notice how excited she was. She had 20 ideas in one and none in the other. That tells you a lot about where you should be going.
Right. Finally, Salima's retirement plans, setting up shop in Florida, sounds pretty sweet. Do you think you're going to be joining her down there in the South?
I love Salima's plan. I think it's great. My parents are both entrepreneurs and they're in Florida and they've got all kinds of ideas too. So it just never stops when you're an entrepreneur, I think.
Right on. Well, thanks so much for your help, Vicky.
Thank you.
Vicky Saunders is the founder of CEO. She spoke with me from Toronto. This has been The Sound of Small Business, brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. Be sure to listen to the other 3 episodes in this podcast series for more stories of Canadian entrepreneurs. Search for The Sound of Small Business wherever you find podcasts, or visit rbc.com/buildingbusiness, where you can also learn how to start your own small business. Thanks for listening. This podcast series is intended as general information only. and is not to be relied upon as constituting legal or other professional advice.